From NPR West and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, Spain approves gay marriage and the Catholic Church objects. First, the lead, a conversation with the editor-in-chief of Time Magazine. You may recall that one of its reporters lost an appeal earlier this week for the Supreme Court to intervene in a case that involves the CIA, the White House, the war in Iraq, and the fundamentals of journalism. Here's the background. This is the so-called Valerie Plame case. She is a CIA agent. Her diplomat husband was critical of the war before it began. Some administration official leaked her name to reporters to get back at him. That is against the law. A federal prosecutor has been threatening jail for Time White House correspondent Matt Cooper, if he doesn't name his source. Today, Time Magazine says it will hand over the reporter's notes. Joining me is the editor-in-chief of Time, Norman Perlstein. Mr. Perlstein, welcome to the show. And why has Time Magazine made this decision?
Okay, well, first of all, it's Time Incorporated that made the decision. Time Magazine is one of our publications, but as editor-in-chief of Time Incorporation, I'm responsible for the editorial independence of all of our publications and for decisions such as this. The Supreme Court held in 1972 that journalists are not above the law when it comes to testifying before a grand jury. I think that was a bad case. We tried to resist it at the trial level and at the Court of Appeals, and we filed a brief with the Supreme Court to try to get that case overturned. We were unsuccessful. The court told us on Monday that they would not hear the case and that the 1972 ruling would stand. Faced with that, it was my decision that while the First Amendment gives reporters a great deal of freedoms, it does not give us the ability to be above the law, and that if the law requires journalists, like all other citizens, to testify before a grand jury, I felt we had no choice but to adhere to it following that Supreme Court ruling.
Have you read Matt Cooper's notes? Is the name in there? Is this going to get him off the hook?
I have read his notes. I will not disclose their content, but the special prosecutor or special counsel in open court yesterday said that he thought that the notes may very well make it less necessary to speak with Mr. Cooper or to incarcerate him. But as you know, grand juries are not public proceedings, and it's my feeling that the notes should be turned over but should not be disclosed.
Well, the prosecutor hasn't seen the notes, so he doesn't know whether this is going to resolve the issue or not.
That's correct.
Let me raise this. Judith Miller of the New York Times finds herself in the same position as your reporter. Here's a statement from the New York Times issued earlier today. We are deeply disappointed by Time Incorporated's decision to deliver the subpoenaed records. We've faced similar pressures in the past. We're resolute, and Time isn't. And this is a problem for all reporters. That is an issue here, isn't it?
Time Inc., first of all, is a defendant in this case, and the New York Times is not. Secondly, the case that the New York Times is referring to most certainly is the 1978 case involving Myron Farber. It was a racketeering case out of New Jersey.
That's correct.
Which, in fact, ended up in Governor Byrne, if I recall correctly, pardoning the reporter and returning all of the fines to the New York Times. It's not at all clear to me that that case is analogous to this one, and in any case, I think the Times was wrong in 1978. I do not believe that journalists and reporters are above the law, and we may not like it. We may think it's wrong. I happen to think this was a bad decision by the trial judge, the Court of Appeals, and the Supreme Court, but once they've spoken, I do not think that journalists have any rights that are superior to the rest of Americans.
Norman Perlstein, editor-in-chief of Time Incorporated, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, bye now.